Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Thank you for coming to my channel. And this is marking the 30th anniversary of the hanging of Ken Sarawiwa, the Nigerian human rights activist who was executed largely, well, believed to be on trumped up charges, condemned by the United Nations. It's broadly accepted in Nigeria that he was not guilty of the offence of which he was committed. So Mr. Sarawiwa died at the age of 44. And I remember as a schoolboy, the petition going round, people trying to collect signatures to persuade the Nigerian government at the time to spare his life, even if you think he was guilty, not to execute him and the others, the Ogoni Nine. So Mr. Sarawiwa, he was born near Port Harcourt in 1941. It was what was then a British colony. And he spoke the Ogoni language. So the Ogoni people are one of the people you find in River State, is one of the minor languages in Nigeria. There's like 200 languages. So he did very well in his schooling. He was also quite religious, an Anglican. He was a university lecturer later on in life. And one of the seminal events of his youth was the Nigerian Civil War in the late 60s, when the Biafra movement tried to break away the Igbo majority area. But he was firmly on the federal side, believed in the oneness of Nigeria, and his side eventually prevailed, held various other government positions in the 1970s. So he was married. He had five children. And why he was really important at school was because his son, Te Deum, had been at school and who had collapsed and died, something like a heart attack at the age of 14. His year before I arrived, it wasn't a heart attack, it was something like that. It's something that's highly unusual for a teenage, a seemingly healthy boy, had dropped dead. His father had been arrested in 1993, released, rearrested. I think his father was incarcerated at the time of Te Deum's sudden death. Indeed, there's a tree marking the spot roughly where Te Deum fell. Was anything to do with the sport? He was captaining his house in the field game. But anyway, so Ken Sarawiwa, he was convicted of inciting the murder of various tribal chieftains. It was during the time of the military dictatorship. So people say, well, really, this was preposterous. He wasn't even in River State on the day or that these people were killed. And the trial was farcical. It was before a kangaroo court. And two of the witnesses who testified against him subsequently withdrew their evidence. They said that there had been offered financial inducements and promotions. People accused Shell Oil of being behind it because Mr. Sarawiwa saw the terrible environmental degradation caused by oil exploitation, how it wasn't benefiting only people. It was just lining the pockets of a few very wealthy people in the kleptocracy. The military council confirmed the death sentences. Mr. Sarawiwa and his co-accused, they were taken to Port Harcourt prison where they were executed one by one, and he was the first to die. And he met his doom stoically, defiantly to the end, speaking up for his cause. So he was a fearless apostle for justice. So anyway, no less a figure than President Nelson Mandela of South Africa denounced this as a crime, the judicial murder of Ken Sarawiwa, and said that Nigeria ought to be suspended by the Commonwealth. So Zimbabwe, even under Robert Mugabe, denounced it. It was such a flagrant injustice. Kenya and many other African countries said it was just a moral outrage this happened. A vote was held in the United Nations, and they voted 101 to 14 to denounce the execution of Ken Sarawiwa and his friends. In the United Kingdom, the Prime Minister at the time, John Major, he called it judicial murder. So the Ken Sarawiwa Foundation exists to this day, trying to really be worthy of his legacy, to continue to campaign for the causes that were close to his heart. So there's been a lawsuit against Royal Dutch Shell, led by his followers, the Center for Constitutional Rights and so on, saying that they were really responsible for this because they had asked the Nigerian government to take action against him. They didn't like him trying to protect the environment because it would make it maybe a little bit more expensive for them to exploit the hydrocarbon resources of Nigeria. Because Mr. Sarawiwa was one of the earliest members of the Movement for the Survival of the Ogoni People and said the Ogoni people's rights were being terribly abused. He'd organized huge-scale peaceful protests, and the Nigerian junta at the time was quite worried about that. So he's an effective orator, effective writer. His plays were often performed on the radio. So though he was perfect at standard English, he could also write in Pidgin English, which was the lingua franca of Nigeria at the time. So there he was, writer, intellectual, orator, human rights campaigner, apostle of liberty, a terrible loss to Nigeria and the wider Commonwealth. But he is now widely recognized as having been righteous, and people want to extol his name. So his is a name that will echo down the centuries. So never forget Ken Saro Wiwa.